7:47, a very, very good morning, Rolene Marks from Israel. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I tell you, it's been such a week with camels and everything that I almost didn't make it this morning. I was fast for Schlafend.
But that's brilliant. Oh, wow. You know what? I think it's always healthy to have those days that you oversleep. It's not a bad thing at all. In fact, I was chatting to Tanya Courier earlier, and I was saying, I feel like exactly that this week. It's been a long, long, tiring week for some reason.
It has. I think we're all just emotionally wrought, and just as we're getting over one hump, I mean, not to make any
camel
puns,
references, yes.
But then comes another shocking incident out of the United States yesterday.
Right. So that was, of course, that was the mass shooting in California last night or late yesterday. On that subject, there's an Israeli startup that is trying to avert the next mass shooting. Tell me about this.
You know, I was actually thinking to myself the other day, it's only a matter of time until somebody or some kind of startup does something. You know, we spoke a little while ago about the backpacks that have been invented in Israel by a company in the north that specialize in this kind of equipment. And this is specifically for schools, for school shootings, where within a split second, if there is a shooting, you can deploy a bulletproof vest. Quite extraordinary. And now a Tel Aviv-based startup called Gabriel, which was founded in 2016, they aim to try and prevent what they call the next Pittsburgh. And sadly, Howard, as we've just said, it's not just Pittsburgh, it's California, it's mass shootings happening, you know, more often than we can report on. But Yoni Sherazin, who has spent 15 years working in the Jewish community and in the army before becoming a startup founder, says that he was motivated by the mass shooting in Tel Aviv's Sirona market. This was in June of 2016. And then the murder of 49 people at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. So he thought he had to come up with something that could change the outcome of these kind of events. So what he's invented, or what his company has invented, is a device that has three major components. So the first is a physical device that you place on the wall of a building, which serves apparently as both a panic button to alert first responders and building occupants. But then it also captures video and audio communication if other communication services fail to notify first responders. And then he says, second of all, it enables anyone with a smartphone to declare an emergency and alert others and continue to share real-time information from the scene. And he says this because smartphones have become a very, very critical component in both communication and intelligence gathering for EMT teams and also for the criminal investigators afterwards. And then he says the final component is an intuitive command and control dashboard, and this will enable real-time crisis management. He says, and this is both available as a web and smartphone application, and the dashboard on this application provides direct video and audio feed and a dynamic sitemap. I mean, it's actually quite incredible. And he says, you know, we wanted to create something that's not just easy to use but also to install. And while there are military grade or government grade platforms on the market, you know, these are not available for less than $200,000.
Wow.
So quite extraordinary.
Amazing. And as always, Israel getting involved in exactly where it's needed. And I've been speaking about this for the last few days. I went to hear Uri Levine, who's one of the co-founders of Waze. I went to hear, he had the privilege of hearing him speak on Wednesday night. And his comment was, fall in love with the problem and not the solution. The solution will follow. So focus on what the problem is. The problem here being the mass shootings, and try and find a solution around that. So fascinating and unsurprising, I guess, that Israel is leading the way in this area. All right, can we just talk for a moment about what was going on in Knesset? That there was a discussion on anti-Semitism, diaspora concerns. I believe that there were no Americans present at that conversation, which is interesting. But there's been quite a bit of criticism of the way that Bennett and Danon handled Pittsburgh. So I personally didn't think that they handled it badly. I actually thought Bennett handled it very, very well. What has the criticism been?
Okay, so Alex, I'll give you a little bit of background. You know, as the news of the Pittsburgh massacre broke in Israel, the government dispatched Naftali Bennett, he's our education minister, to Pittsburgh to go and comfort the mourners. Now, where he has faced a lot of criticism is that when meeting with members of the community who were mourning, and especially those who were in the Beit Knesset, the shul, when the murders took place, he spoke about, you know, well, you could understand how we feel in Israel every time there is a rocket attack or every time we have to run for shelter. And American Jews were actually quite taken aback by that. And this prompted, as well as our ambassador to the United Nations, Danny Danon, to defend Trump. You know, of course, we know that President Trump has been the subject of much discussion around, you know, does he encourage anti-Semitism? You know, has comments that he's made about the alt-right, you know, created this environment. His comments about there should have been protection within in the synagogue when this happened, and numerous other things. And we are very well acquainted with the debates around President Trump. And Ambassador Danon went on to the international news services, and he defended President Trump. Now, many of the leadership in the American Jewish community, as well as the former ambassador to Israel, Ambassador Shapira, they've opined, you know, when it comes to a situation where there's death and mourning, don't politicize it. And Bennett has come under a lot of criticism for using the opportunity to talk about Israel. Ambassador Shapira actually quite put it quite well. Ooh, my English, I tell you, I'm translating
it's
from
Friday.
Hebrew.
It's
Friday and it's frightening, Howard. Mm. I mean, sometimes it's Dothraki. I just don't get it. But Ambassador Shapira said, you know, when he was posted to Israel, he had to attend countless shivas. And he said he learned very quickly that you don't bring politics. It's an opportunity for you to respect the mourner or the mourners and for you to listen. It's not a time to bring any political grandstanding or discussion into the place of Shiva.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. That it is valid, but I guess how do you remove this whole anti-Semitic thing from an anti-Israel thing? It is relevant. You know, when Jews are killed in Har Nof, they're killed as Jews. When they're killed in a synagogue, in a shul, if they're killed in Pittsburgh in a shul, they're killed as Jews. It isn't different. It's only made to be different.
Well, absolutely. We know this, and what the Pittsburgh massacre has done is it's blown the lid off, so to speak, on American anti-Semitism. It's exposed how much it is rising. I mean, over the last now nearly 2 weeks, and you and I've discussed quite often off air, the amount of incidents that are happening around the United States, be it the desecration of a shul with graffiti, also in Las Vegas, a horrendous story coming out of Los Angeles yesterday where a lunatic is running around pulling the shaitels and the head covering.
Yes, I saw that.
Of religious women, which is, to me, is so profoundly offensive and despicable on so many levels. As a woman and her private space being invaded, her modesty being invaded, her religious sensibilities being disrespected like that. So the Knesset the other day had a discussion about anti-Semitism around the world and in diaspora communities and in America in particular, and there's a lot of criticism. Where were the Americans? Now, we often have this discussion that very often the issue of BDS and the central charge, which is the apartheid analogy, is discussed without coming and talking to South Africans. If anybody's going to understand the analogy and be able to help you break it down and deal with it, it's going to be South Africans. And if you're having a discussion about anti-Semitism in America, especially at a time when there is a growing chasm between American Jewry and Israel, shouldn't you include the Americans?
Just to give our listeners a bit of background, New York Post this morning saying a man has been was arrested this week for ripping wigs off the heads of three unsuspecting Orthodox Jewish women in California. The first two incidents occurred in September on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the Jewish calendar. In the first incident, an 80-year-old woman was walking on Bel Air Avenue and in Hollywood, and she noticed a man following her. He snatched the wig off her head, smiled, handed it back to her before walking away. I mean, that's terrible. Later that day, a 36-year-old woman was walking on Chandler Avenue in Bel Air, and the same thing. He attempted to pull off her wig. The anti-Semitic bully has laid low until the Tuesday when he approached a 58-year-old woman loading a music equipment into her car and pulled the wig off her head. Terrible.
It's too horrendous for words. But, we have a disconnect with American Jewry. And, we've also chatted a lot about, the differences between being a Jew in Israel and being a Jew in the diaspora. And does Israel understand diaspora needs as well as it should? Where are the areas that we need to improve? And clearly, one of the areas that we need to improve is that if we're having discussions about these communities, include representatives of the community.
Absolutely right. Unfortunately, Rolene, we run out of time way too quickly, because certainly that we can continue this conversation, but we are out of time. It's almost 8 o'clock. I hope you have a wonderful restorative Shabbos, and that you can disconnect from the mad world that we're living in. And we look forward to chatting to you next week.
Absolutely. Shabbat shalom to you and to our listeners. And a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks, Rolene. It is 8 o'clock.